Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Paul's question assumes a lot. It assumes that the Christians in Rome had been taught and believed in the vital connection between Christ's death and resurrection and their baptism and new life. It assumes that the church ought to know this, that the church cannot even truly be the church in the normal way of things without knowing this. It also assumes that the church must be reminded of this, that baptism and Christ's death are related by more than just a mysterious phrase. Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? If we preach Christ's death, then we preach baptism. God has linked them forever. It makes our neglect of baptism that much more incredible, since God draws the two together in his preaching of grace to us. The baptism of Jesus in the Jordan and his command to baptize and teach in his name frame his public ministry, a ministry which reaches its climax in his death and victory over death. All of his passion predictions in the gospel contain reference not only to his dying, but to his rising. And in Romans 6, Paul has woven all of this together. Baptism and its essential connection with the once and for all death and resurrection of Christ. Baptism cannot be incidental anymore. It connects you to Christ, who, as the hymnist says, washed you in the tide flowing from his pierced side. Baptism is not casual. Baptism tears you from Satan's kingdom and gives you a new heavenly father, a new mother, and new brothers and sisters. There is a great mystery here, and the mystery does not meet the eye. Where is the connection between Christ's death and water and word? The temptation is to view it all too narrowly and to ask, how can baptism today be anything if Christ's atonement is something that happened so long ago? And with that kind of thinking, it is easy to come to the conviction that there is nothing on earth that I need less than baptism. There is nothing more unimpressive to the eye than a crying infant, awkward parents, confused sponsors, and a pastor gathered at the font. But just in case, we'll take pictures so we can remember this day forever, or at least when we page through photo albums. But the flashing cameras won't get anything exciting on film. In fact, when we look at the pictures later on, we wonder why we took so many. What is the big deal? The outward appearance of baptism is dismal. How precious can it be? Perhaps we could ignore baptism altogether and purge the ancient notion that it is most excellent, glorious, and exalted. This would not be the only time that we behave like two-dimensional people in the four-dimensional reality of God's grace. But regardless of our own meager understanding about what baptism is, it will never disappear in the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. This is the church which is established on this one baptism, by which God has begotten you again to the lively hope of the resurrection through his creative word. When God baptizes, the miracle of rebirth and renewal is worked. The baptized baby may soil its diapers, but it lacks no promise from God. Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Baptism can no longer be an embarrassment or a throwaway or a negotiable relic of the church. In your baptism, God relates a sinful mass of flesh, yours, to the cross. To a dying Jew, even God become flesh in Jesus, who alone was without sin. He applied water to kill your completely corrupt flesh by drowning. The significance is that our flesh must have deserved it, that our sins must be great indeed, and that the old Adam is in need of such a death. Our sin must be less like a head cold and more akin to a debilitating disease that racks the entire body with uncontrolled convulsions and grotesque spasms. That is a more realistic view of sin. Indeed, God would hardly need provide the sacrificial lamb if sins were only harmless peccadilloes, as harmless as my infrequent despising of God, as harmless as my occasional hatred of my neighbor, as harmless as my indifference to the burdens of my brothers and sisters. Having our old self nailed to the cross with Christ in baptism may be perceived as the unflattering part of the antidote that God provides for this body of death. It indicates that sin is far more serious than we ever thought. Instead of getting better and better every day and in every way, and building on the moral progress we thought we made yesterday, baptism instead directs us to the cross, where we too must take sin seriously all over again. But we do not hold ourselves under water to see how long we can punish ourselves, because Christ has taken the punishment already upon himself, and his mercy endures forever. Each day we are stripped down by repentance and built up not by a legalistic charting out of our day around someone's idea of high morality, but by the power of grace. The power of grace which spontaneously brings forth the right fruit, whereby I finally love both God and my neighbor. Humanly speaking, there are far better Christians than you and me. With Paul, we might say, I have a clear conscience, but that does not justify me. Repentance does not debate what is and what is not sin, but lumps everything together and says, I am of no account. I am not godly. And this repentance continues until death for us. In this life, we never come to the end or get to the bottom of our sinfulness. But even though we limp and crawl, we are yet saved by the ancient Christian faith and the one baptism which is nothing less than the gospel that forgives these sins for Christ's sake. We need not guess God's will for us. He has enacted it on us in baptism. In baptism, God gives a divine preachment of Christ and the cross, of dying and rising, of repentance and new life brought about by his absolution of the world's sins. Sin begets death, but our sin is borne by the one who died the criminal's death in our stead. Baptism has united us into his death, into his burial. But like Christ in the grave is not the end of the story, so our death in baptism does not end with our bodies lying in a tomb, but rather with arising with Christ to live a new life now and finally in eternity. Baptism is real death and real resurrection, hidden to the eye, but grasped by faith. Here in baptism, as on the cross, is where Christ saves. Here in baptism is where God gives eternal promises, where he himself washes you in the tide flowing from his pierced side. And the sermon that he preaches at your baptism is this: you are dead, I make you alive. Outside of Christ, sin and death reign. But God's baptism has broken the link in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Dead to sin and alive to God, I am his child, cared for without fail in his church, where he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. Indeed, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen.